WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
You know, my grandfather's name is Amos, just saying. And my father's name, his middle name was Amos. So, got to have a little bit of that in my DNA. I'm sure that was a prophetic thing. But Amos addressed all the surrounding territories adjacent to Israel and pronounced judgment by fire.
The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Amos was aware of the sequence. The Lord speaks, who can help but prophesy? But many modern prophets lack understanding of it. Today, much is spoken in the name of the Lord with a huge desire that God will honor it and make the prophet credible. Hello. Instead of holding one's tongue until the Lord actually speaks. Isaiah 17, 1 through 2, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of the Aurora are forsaken, and they shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The prophecy of Aurora, an ancient city located in what is now Jordan, has been fulfilled. Our Damascus has never been destroyed. Damascus is the oldest continually inhabited city in the world, and is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 14, 15, and it has never been destroyed. All the armies of the world march through Israel and march through Lebanon and march through that area, going back and forth between Africa and Europe and Asia. And Damascus has never been destroyed. Because Isaiah 17 is a sealed prophecy, which has never been unsealed. Isaiah joined 7 prophetic utterances from 6 prophets to declare that whole nations are sealed into the plan of God. They are either sealed in or they're sealed out. There is no middle ground with nations. Isaiah emphasized the certainty of God's word. He used the term in that day. I tried to count last night. I think I counted 48 times that he used in that day in the book of Isaiah. But he used in that day to point to a definite time in history. Isaiah knew God ordered sealed events, which would be broken and fall open in the appropriate time frame. Just as the 7 seals are shown being broken through during Revelation's domain, the book with 7 seals is the last book of historical events to be opened. Another phrase he uses often is the day of the Lord, which is mostly referring to judgment, but it could also include blessing. Isaiah 3:10. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. The righteous are sealed. Our destiny was and is in Him. We are being formed into Christ's body. We're merging and we're matching into the body of Christ. Whether on the road to Babylon or standing among Revelation's 144,000, we're safe. I told you Sunday I knew I was going to church. I just didn't know what part of it. I didn't go to church. I knew it was going to heaven. I just didn't know where I was going to get in the door at, but I knew I was going in. We are safe. God declared through His prophet His stance, just in case some might imagine their judgment would be altered and be reiterated. Isaiah 4:24, and so it shall be. Isaiah's ministry was sealed when the Lord sent the angel with the coal of fire. The sealed ministry is the only kind God will use, for true ministry does not exist apart from the seal of God. Amen. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. Just as He thought, it shall come to pass. And as I have proposed, so it shall stand. This is the purpose that He has purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that stretched out over all the nations, for the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? As ministers of the gospel, when you were called, many are called, but few are chosen. And when you were chosen, you were sealed at that time into what God's purpose was for you. But the total seal of your life may not yet be opened. And it is a set time that God has set for the seal of your life to be opened for the ministry that He has sealed in you. And then there is a set time of the opening of those seals that are within you that He is going to use you to bring forth that which He has already purposed in you. So many of us have these incredible prophecies over us of how God is going to use us and what we're going to do. And you think, how is that going to happen where I am now? Because that seal has not yet been opened in you. I get scolded all the time for not writing a book. The seal of that book has not yet been opened in me. If it was, I would know it.
Right.
I would know it and it would come forth. The seal has not yet been opened. Set times are not just for Israel and Judah. All nations are under the time frame of God's order. All of His chosen, all of His elect, all of His seed are under the set time frame of God's order. That's why we can't push a ministry. That's why we can't push doors. That's why we can't push our ministry into a time frame. That's why He has set forth a time. There is a set time for the revelations of God to be released upon the earth. And He will use those people in whom He has the seal of the revelation of knowledge. But until that set time, that revelation knowledge will be opened. And God's servants who get into competition, that their books of revelation are in competition with somebody else's revelation, I can tell you right now you're there.
Amen.
I didn't know what God was going to do with this. You could ask Chris, he's packed my bedroom. I sat there all day long and worked on it. Just as Jerusalem has always been synonymous with the protection of, under the protection of God, and with the protection of God. When the Lord lifted its seal off of Jerusalem, He temporarily took away its protection. 9/11. I knew.
Yes.
I cried. I cried watching my television. I was crying a week before. You know why? God lifted His seal temporarily on the United States of America. And I knew it. I knew it. God's seal had been lifted. The Holy Bible is a book about Jesus Christ. And the Lord's dealing with nations spiritually and governmentally on how they receive Him. All nations. Every nation of the earth on how they receive Jesus Christ. Spiritually and governmentally. Yeah, hey, there are still Christians out there on Facebook who believe that we should not have anything to do or say with government. It's foolishness. Because it's not scriptural.
That's right.
The whole Bible is about nations.
That's right.
And how they respond to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Whether they're in judgment or whether they are in blessing is their response to Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's foolishness to believe that we should not be involved in the government of our nation. All nations of the earth have been sealed, either for judgment or blessing, and God set time frame conditional on how they have received Jesus Christ. He removed the protection of Judah, 22:8, because you did not look to your Maker, nor did you have respect for Him who fashioned it long ago. What did He fashion? Judah. In that day, the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning. And Judah was His chosen nation. The chosen nation through whom the Messiah would come.
Amen.
This was the chosen tribe, I'll put it this way. Mm-hmm. He chose Judah out of all 12 tribes as the chosen tribe, that he chose Judah, that through the seed of Judah would come forth the Messiah. Amen. But Judah did not look to their maker, and he lifted his seal temporarily to correct them. But the Messiah did come forth through the tribe of Judah, through a holy remnant. Deception has sought to steal away God's people from knowing him. And in that day, its seal must be broken. Isaiah saw no variation between the contemporary judgment which befell the cities and nations around him and the great judgment which will befall the whole world in order to usher in the second coming of Christ. If you read Isaiah, and we stayed on it for 2 years, or we had Isaiah for 2 years, I think we were. He takes a broad brush in any prophecy that he gives. And in that broad brush, he prophesies to the day, to that day. He prophesies to the future day. He prophesies to the coming of the Messiah. He prophesies of the gospel church. He prophesies of the second coming of Christ. And he does it all in one sweep. Because in the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Our words spoken by the Lord, which are sealed into the latter days. Revelation knowledge remains sealed until its proper moment. I have given you revelation knowledge. I know I do. Okay, there are times when God gives me wonderful revelation. But if I study, I find out there's some people who knew that before me. I got it straight from God, okay? But I'm going to start reading books written back in the 1600s or the 1400s, and somebody else already knew that.
Amazing.
Maybe not exactly, because we do have more revelation in the 21st century than they had back then, because of the gifts have been restored to the body of Christ, and God has given us more insight. But they got a piece of it, I can tell you. They got up in that third heaven.
Yes.
And God gave them revelation.
Amen.
But there is a sealed moment. Oh, and you will have persecution. If you have gift of revelation knowledge, and God brings forth revelation to you that Dr. Kadmiak is not preaching, you can be sure that Dr. Kadmiak will persecute you. I'm preaching good today. God sometimes he holds as well as give revelation, because it's all according to his timing. The Father has designed spiritual understanding which will come to pass at designated times. What I read today concerning Damascus is not new revelation, but a reminder of what has already been revealed to us through the Word of God. And in every generation, the Word of God does not change. For generations and generations, it does not change. But we have to come into agreement, as my sister said, prophesy and declare the Word of God. Because when we prophesy and declare it into our generation, we are declaring and sealing it for our generation. And those who have been given the prophetic seal or the apostolic seal, or God has sealed them into a ministry, have the authority to declare in their generation what God has declared from the beginning. Hallelujah. When the Lord commissioned Joshua to possess the promised land, the perimeters of the nation of Israel were laid out to its completion. commander. The Lord spoke to Joshua a particular account of the land that yet remained. To date, Israel has yet to possess all the land which was sealed to them. As a matter of fact, there's one place in Scripture, and I didn't write it down, where God says because they did not possess it, he was going to use them to war against Israel to teach them how to war and how to fight. However, this is the word of God to Joshua, which in due time will be fulfilled. Okay, these are the places that Joshua did not subdue. The south, the country of the Philistines, governed by the warlords. Okay, we got trouble in all these places.
Yes.
The land that lay towards Egypt. Westward, that which lay toward the Sidonians, that would be Lebanon. You know how we had a Lebanese family in our church, and bless God, it was back in the early days. And there was just so much anger and frustration with the Lebanese toward Israel. Because according to the word of God, Lebanon belongs to Israel.
My
Bible says Lebanon is part of Israel. Okay, eastward, including all of Lebanon. North, entering in Hamath. Hamath is west central Syria. It includes Damascus. Okay, it says entering into Hamath. If you look at your map, Damascus is at the southern part of Syria, and a whole section going up to on the west coast there, the Mediterranean Sea, was given to Israel.
That's right.
Why is this important today? Last week, Turkey, Russia, and Iran met together to determine the fate of Syria. Never in the Word of God does the Lord give authority to those nations concerning Syria. They have no authority. They have no right. God didn't give it to them ever. Joshua 13:6. The Lord says, I will drive them out from before the children of Israel. On March 18, 2012, I preached a message on Psalm 83. The 10-nation confederacy against Israel. The Lord spoke to me on March 17th, 2012, and you've heard this is not anything new. I'm just trying to bring all this together that God has shown me, and you just happen to be listening, okay? The war has begun. Because I've been praying about the Psalm 83 war, it was and is my conviction today that the Lord was speaking about that particular war. Since that day, every single border of Israel is bombed continuously, all around. There's bombs falling all the time, all around Israel, since 2012. I mean, it did before, but it escalated then. Any given week, there's bombing going on. Okay, it hasn't become a full-fledged war yet, but it has begun. This is my persuasion. I'm not telling you this is absolute. This is just the way I'm seeing it, from what God said to me. The God may have war, as prophesied by Ezekiel in chapters 38 and 39, is also unfulfilled prophecy, and that war has not yet been unsealed. Or maybe it has begun, perhaps. This teaching today is exploratory. You can do with it whatever you want. This is Carolyn for half the scriptures. As I search the scriptures in view of the present civil war in Damascus, I'm going to briefly recap the nations described as the God and Magog nations. Ezekiel 38 and 39 are one prophecy and tell of a coming northern confederacy of nations around the Black and Caspian Seas with Persia and North Africa. These nations are ruled in the realm of the spirit by the spirit of communism and the spirit of Islam. These are demonic powers over those nations. These nations include Turkey, Romania, Bulgaria, Russia, Georgia, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Northwest India, and Russia, plus Persia, which is Iran, and North Africa, Ethiopia, Libya. I've got a whole teaching on that if you want to look at it. Carolyn, for Carolyn's purposes, as a prophet and a servant of God, is bringing these servants that God has given me over years together into one so that I can get a picture of what God is speaking about what's going on right now. Okay, neither Iran nor Russia is included in the 10-nation confederacy of Psalm 83. Okay. However, since the Syrian civil war began on March the 15th, 2011, both Russia and Iran have played a strategic role in the unfolding of the crisis on the world stage. Mm. Saw this morning that Russia has been trying to stop our drones. They dismantled some of our drones so that they're not operating or something. They threatened us that if we bomb Syrian airports, that they're going to retaliate. Okay, in this view, this is Carolyn talking, okay? It could be considered that the Psalm 83 war, the 10-nation confederacy, the destruction of Damascus, which is Isaiah 17, and it hasn't happened, and the God war may overlap. Looks like a good chance right now. Would you say? Damascus is pretty close to being bombed. Those 10 nations are already fighting around Israel. Even those who aren't openly doing it are covertly coming against them. And the God-may-God nations have moved into Syria. One through three. So I asked myself what I did when I was doing this. I said, who will be the chosen nation to destroy Damascus? Margaret read the scripture this morning, the sword shall rise up against sword and brother against brother. It looks like that Assad is destroying his own nation. Mm-hmm. That he is the one who is destroying his nation.
Yes.
I would pray that it will not be the United States of America.
That's right.
Yes. But when this is totally unsealed, there is a chosen nation who will destroy Damascus. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm thinking it's Assad. Brother coming against brother. It's serious business. I believe, and as I went into the sermon, it is my persuasion that we are coming into the time of the unsealing of these prophecies that have been sealed to a definite time in God's time schedule. We're missing a really good chance here. All of these things have come together. Will God pull back? Who do you think is allowing this and orchestrating all this since it's so exact to the Word of God? Mm-hmm. We can't pray against God's will. Mm-hmm. We can't pray against God's Word.
Yes.
We can't pray against God's timing.
Yes.
Can't change the prophecy.
Can't change the prophecy. Don't need to try. We just need to hold on. Okay, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus. Okay, that means that the kingdom rule that is now over Damascus of the Assad regime will end. At some point in time. God's time. And the remnant of Syria, they shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord. The remnant of Syria are the Christians in Syria. Many have already died, the Kurds.
Yeah, yeah.
The Kurds are a Christian, yeah. Christians. Many have been died, they've been in prison for their faith. The heads chopped off.
Yeah.
Thankfully, others have escaped. All references to Damascus in the New Testament are associated with the Paul's conversion and ministry. Jesus Christ, by visitation, went to Damascus after his ascension to encounter Saul of Tarsus.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 9, 3, 5, and 17. And he, Paul, journeyed. He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. Lightning swift light is brighter than Sirius noonday sun. And can only be the Shekinah glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the promise of glory in Isaiah 17:3 to the Syrian remnant at the time of the total destruction of Damascus can only be one glory. The glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Savior is the light from heaven. Who has conquered the dark ignorance of man's wisdom, political correctness, religious devils, and every other power of darkness in the world. And he still knows his way to Damascus.
Yes, he does.
This is serious business. Damascus has been sealed since the beginning. This is serious business. He will call his holy ones to his secret place to pray about his word and his timing and that which he has sealed and at what time these seals are being opened. Isaiah 17:7-8. In that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. He shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. When Paul was sent to Damascus, when Jesus visited there with his glory, the time will come when the remnant of Syria is going to cry out to the Lord. Because the word of God says, the remnant of Syria shall be as the glory of Israel. This just says that they will cry out. They will cry out to God. The civil war in Syria was, when it started, a religious war between Sunni Muslims and Shiite Muslims. However, it's changed now. The Sunni royal families of the Persian Gulf oil sheikhdom were supporting the Sunni Muslims. That was back in 2011 until. Now, the war has escalated. Iran, Russia, ISIS, Turkey, the rebels, Kurds, and the United States still all occupy Syria. This is serious. I read it. I couldn't find it last night, too, because I spent some time looking on it. And you know, I'll never finish studying this out because it's so deep in the Bible. But I read somewhere yesterday, and in some news article, the United States occupies one-third of Syria. I read that. If you can find it, I'm glad, because I know I read it, because it just... One-third of something is a prophetic number. All through the Bible. One-third of it is God's number. One-third of the offerings. One-third of everything down through the Bible, through the book of Revelation, is God's number. Can't be any coincidence. This is too important. The United States occupies one-third of Syria. I've got to search this out and get to the bottom of this. It's a prophetic number. I ran out of time. Lord, what does it mean? We know it means it's your number. We know that's your number. Now, I'm going on with this because it all, look, if we bring this together. Isaiah 17:9. In that day shall his strong cities be as the forsaken bough and uppermost branch. When they left, because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not been mindful of the rock of your strength. Therefore you shall plant pleasant plants, and shall set it with strange slips. We're still talking about Damascus. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of mighty waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Behold, at evening time trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and a lot of them that wrong us. This is meant to give courage to Judah when threatened by any and every foreign army. God will protect his own, even if the whole world descended upon Jerusalem. It was David who subdued the citizens of Damascus. Now I'm coming back to this rushing of nations, okay? We're talking about the United Nations here. We're talking about all these nations that are in Syria now who have rushed in, including us. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of all this. Okay, it was David who subdued the citizens of Damascus. 1 Samuel 8:6. David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. The nations which David subdued included Syria, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, and Azar. That's the whole Mediterranean coast there, just about. David got him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians, 18,000 men in the Valley of the Salt. Jesus, the greater David, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has been exalted above all religious, military, and intellectual activity. In that day, the day of the fulfillment of Isaiah, itself against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Church, I've been talking lately. We don't have time to talk about sex, grace, foolish cats.
Yes.
Even have conversations about it. Indeed. Not that we're about to be socially polite in the rest. But they're just conversations we still have time to enter into.
Yes.
A bunch of foolishness. A religious spirit of Antichrist opposes and exalts itself above all that is called God. And we're not to make agreements with the pride of Damascus. Okay. All right. Russia, Iran, and Turkey. are supporting a song. They're going to be held to be responsible for, just as responsible as a song by God. She'll leave Donald J. Trump out of the picture. Okay? God's using him. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's keeping him humble. I wish God would fire me or get this for this thing. But, you know, it doesn't seem like anyone else can fire him. Well, I'm asking God to fire the man. Yeah, he already is. No one has any respect for him. But anyway, back to Damascus here. Okay, the pride. Okay, these have come into agreement with the pride of Damascus. Okay, those who come into the agreement with Assad come up under Assad's judgment. First Kings 15:18-21. King Asa of Judah took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hands of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus. Syria had been growing more and more powerful and progressively encroached on the northern kingdom in the Galilee area. This is a treaty with Syria based on a gift, or should we say a bribe, are the USA has a lot of bribes out among the nations. It's the strangest thing. It used to be long ago that weak nations paid strong nations tributes to not attack them. Now we pay weak nations money to come against us and talk bad about us. They do not respect us anymore for our gifts to their nations and think nothing of betraying us. Why do they not respect us? Because it is their culture from the beginning of time. God put it in their DNA. God fixed that in their thinking that if you pay tribute to someone, then they are over you. Somebody at our house has figured all this out. They really not. Donald J. Trump with Nikki Haley. Y'all pray for Nikki Haley. She's got to be, you know, all of these strong people, they're coming at them.
Yes.
They evidently haven't found anything on Nikki Haley yet, or she'd be drunk through the mud. Every nation in the UN would be dragging her through the mud because she's chopped them up and spit them out.
Yes. Praise God.
Okay, Christians are to be beware of the couch of Damascus. Amos 3:12. Thus says the Lord, as the shepherd takes out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, and so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. This translates to, don't get in bed with them. I wrote in 2013, this is what I wrote when I preached this. It's a little different than I preached it today, because I was preaching only Isaiah 17 at the time. Today I preached on Damascus. This is what I wrote in 2013. I believe this is a word of wisdom to the government leaders in the United States to stay out of Damascus. We are not to join with the rushing of nations, UN that makes a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. God shall rebuke those nations. This is the Lord's word. He has spoken it. It is his work, his strange work.
Amen.
In Isaiah 17, he tells us clearly to not get into his business. I have changed my mind. Since 2013. I've changed my mind. Perhaps it was wisdom then, but that has been 5 years ago. And there has been a lot of change going on. Because of the evil of the Assad regime against innocent people, I don't know if it's my flesh or I can't say it's God. I think we ought to going to bomb those airports, and I don't know what will happen if we bomb those chemical places. You want, it'll get up in the air and
release all that
into the air. I don't know. But I am not in the same persuasion I was in 2013. I just want my church to know that. The fact that the United States controls one-third of Syria is very, and we don't want anything they have.
No.
There's nothing Syria has that the United States wants. Okay, I'm going to close with this last passage in Isaiah 17. At that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken mound, an uppermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. You see, they keep fighting Israel. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation, and have not been mindful of the rock of your strength, therefore shall you plant pleasant plants, and shall say it with strange lips. In that day shall you make your plants to grow, and in the morning shall you make your seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. There is so much grief and desperate sorrow in Syria and in Damascus at this point. I can't imagine any farmer going out and planting anything if you're being bombed with chemical weapons. Or nor will it grow.
That's right.
Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them. And they shall flee far off, and shall be chased through the shaft of the mountains before the wind, and like a tolling thing before the whirlwind. Behold, at evening time trouble, and before the morning he is not. I think that would be a thought, that he would be a thought. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And this is the word of the Lord.